Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small-town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Joining me today is a young woman that Stacy and I had the pleasure to meet about a month ago, Emerson Rose Hansen. Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I've never really done something like this, so this is going to be like a fun experience for me to talk about a lot of things I'm interested in and I'm passionate about.
Oh, we're so happy that you're here to talk about what you're passionate about. That's something that fires you up. I'm just so pleased that you're here, and I want to share you with other people in Central Illinois. I know that you've gotten quite a reputation around your area. Would you like telling a little background about where you're from and how you got started in this interest of music and vinyl records?
Yeah, so I've always kind of been into music because I feel like my family has always been into music before my parents were born. They've just been known to go to a lot of concerts, a lot of like what you'd call red dirt music. But I've kind of developed a love for classic rock, I think since I was about maybe 11 or 12 is when I was really interested in it. And I feel like that's my music, is the music that speaks to me the most is classic rock. But I can thank my love of music probably to my parents because they've got me started on all of it. And my dad has always played guitar, like since before I was born, he's played guitar. Some of my earliest memories are of him playing guitar. And I really like it when he plays guitar. He always says he's not very good, but I honestly think he's good. Like, it makes me happy when he plays, so.
And I think that we were just talking about that you said you play in a worship group at your church, and I think that that is wonderful, mm-hmm. too, that you get to experience the different types of genres of music to play in, not that you love classic rock, but, you know, you have such a broad interest. I think that's, especially at your age, you are, what, 15?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. And where are you from, Effingham, or?
Yes, I've lived around here my entire life, you know, always been around Central Illinois.
So did your grandparents play classic rock? Do you have memories of that kind of thing? Do you have anything you can pinpoint that? Because, I mean, I'm in my 70s, so I grew up, you know, I saw the Beatles play and I saw all that. But do you think you're an old soul? Mm-hmm. How'd that come about?
I would say I probably am an old soul, but it's kind of a funny story. I feel like most kids my age have been introduced to classic rock by someone like a grandparent. But for me, it was kind of a interesting story. It's not really, I don't feel like anybody really introduced me to it. I think one day we were just having, from what I remember, like being my first experience of classic rock, was we were just having like a bonfire or something. I think it was my mom. And she's like, oh, let's just put on some like fun 70s music just to listen to. And I remember hearing like Imagine by John Lennon and like Let It Be by the Beatles. I remember that being like, wow, I've never heard this. This is so good. And I feel like from there, I was like hearing those two songs, I got really into like the Beatles. And then I was really into Fleetwood Mac. And so then I kind of got into just kind of on my own, just hearing those few songs, I was really interested in hearing more of it. And so it kind of led me to, and now I listen to like a whole range of stuff. I would say anything from 60s, maybe to the 2000s. I probably listened to some of it, a lot of different genres. But I feel like hearing that little bit of 70s rock is kind of what led me to like pretty much all genres of rock and just really expand my music taste. Before then, I think I listened to mostly just kind of the country Americana stuff my parents listened to, but I didn't really have a passion for that as much as I have a passion for classic rock.
Mm. And I can understand that. Classic rock's always been my passion. Now, Stacy, my husband, he was more of a country fan. My father loved country, old country, Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and all that, and he hated the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I hated country music because my dad hated them. And so if he's going to hate my music, I was going to hate his. And it wasn't seriously until I became an adult and began to sing with him that I truly appreciated the wide range of music that is out there and how it can, something just resonates within you that hits your spirit and said, it doesn't matter what genre it is, when it hits you, it hits you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what, besides appreciating it, And what inspired you then? How did you find out that you had a talent for playing? And at what age did that begin for you?
Well, my first like real experience singing was I kind of started when I was probably, I think it'd probably be about 10 years ago. And I think I was five. And I like started kind of just the local singer, Bill Poss. I would occasionally get up and sing with him just some of his songs just for fun. And then my dad kind of said to me, well, if you really like singing, I could always play some of my guitar and then you could sing too. So I kind of started out playing and singing with my dad. And so I'd kind of been doing that when I was still in what you would say is my country phase, when I would still listen to that kind of country. And that's kind of what I would sing. I did a little bit of like Creedence Clearwater. I used to sing Have You Ever Seen the Rain? And I remember my grandma always really liked it. And I recently just relearned to play that on guitar for her. But so I was kind of doing country stuff, maybe one or two, like maybe classic rock songs. But when I was, like I said, I would say when I was about like 11 or 12 is when I started to get into classic rock. And at that point, I had not really been playing music. I had kind of taken a break from it because I didn't really feel the drive to do it. And then eventually, I think it was almost during COVID that I picked guitar back up and I'd been like, I want to learn some of these new songs that I really like.
That's COVID, it's such a mixed bag of a horrible, horrible time, and yet so many blessings for so many people that it did cause people to find that creative spirit again, being so isolated from other people. So it did have an upside, crazily enough, didn't it? So how old were you when you began taking lessons from Marty Williamson?
I think it was probably like maybe 6 or 7 when I started with Marty. And that was at the time I was more into playing like ukulele, so I didn't practice guitar as much. I learned some guitar with him, but then recently I had just picked up, I think it's been 2 or 3 years even, and recently as a teenager I had went back to Marty and I've been playing and taking lessons from Marty ever since then. So like seriously taking lessons with Marty, I would say when I was like 11 or 12, but the first time I took lessons with him was a long time ago.
So did he give you any tips, or are there any? I didn't begin performing in public until I was in my mid-60s, and Stacy, my husband, had been doing it since he was an older teenager. So, you know, to get that stage time and get that poise and to get that confidence, that takes a lot when you're my age. I don't know that I always said I would never live long enough to measure up to the stage time that he has, and that's a fact no matter what. But for you to have such poise, did he give you any tips about how to feel confident and comfortable when you are out in public like that? Or did that come to you from those early experiences of singing with Bill Poss when you were 5 years old up on a chair?
I feel like both, kind of a combination of both, since I had been doing it since I was young. I didn't really have a huge stage fright of it. You're always a little bit nervous anytime you play. I feel like any musician knows that. But I feel like I had kind of gotten adjusted to it since I've been doing it younger. But Marty's definitely given me a lot of tips on how just to not let it get to you. He always says, like, you don't ever stop. Even if you have a bad gig, don't let that stop you from performing. And he was like, something's always going to go wrong. So if it does, just got to roll with it pretty much.
Yeah. That Stacy had told me the same thing when you get started, that, you know, if it happens to the best of them, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have, tell us about your George Harrison guitar. Is that your first big purchase that you got that's your pride and joy, or do you have others?
That was my second electric guitar. I currently only have two. I just have those two. I bought a Georgia Green Gretsch originally. It's kind of a teal color. So that was my first guitar I bought, and that was one I had just seen, and I really loved it. And I thought that was the first true electric guitar I wanted. But being such a big Beatles fan and George Harrison fan, as you've heard me talk about classic rock, I had been, you know, watching all the documentaries on the Beatles and seeing all these pictures of his psychedelic looking guitar. And I was just I just thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I still do think it's one of the coolest guitar designs I've ever seen. And I was like, I got to have it. I got to find some way to make this happen, whether I paint the guitar myself or we find someone to do it. So luckily we did find someone. He's a guy up in Michigan and he custom paints guitars to kind of have the same look as like iconic guitars. And so we got a hold of him and he was like, yeah, I can make this up for you and I'll sell it to you. And so we ordered it and he shipped it down in a guitar box, and like in a literally a box that's made to ship guitars.
So when we saw you selling a vinyl at your pop-up at Village Wine, how long have you been doing that, and and tell how and what age did you start selling vinyl records? Because I know that the resurgence of vinyl is something that happened in 2006, 2007, before you were probably born. So, what started that business for you? And I know that it's probably been very successful for you.
It has. It's been a really good just way for me to have fun and for me to make a little bit of money kind of as a part-time, like a hobby, as something I enjoy. I started about, I think it was 2 years ago, and it kind of, I didn't actually start on purpose. It kind of ended up when a friend had told me, hey, my dad's selling some of these records at a garage sale. I know you collect records, because I've been personally collecting vinyl for like 4 or 5 years. And so he had told me, oh, well, my dad's selling these. You might want to go check them out. And so there was a lot of good records, but some of them weren't records that were particularly to my taste. But I thought, well, maybe these are a good deal. Maybe I could just buy these and then I could just resell the ones I don't need. And so I ended up doing that. And then I kind of had gotten to the habit of buying like larger collections to get maybe there might be like a rare record in that collection. And I could only get it for a decent price if I bought them in bulk. And so then I had ended up with some records I didn't really listen to or I just didn't really have a use for. And so I thought, well, I might as well kind of get into reselling these for people who could enjoy them more than I could. So that's kind of how it came about. Like, I didn't even mean to start selling them. It just kind of happened like that. But
if you were painting, it'd be a Bob Ross happy accident, in other words, huh? So just something that kind of came about by accident. Isn't that funny? When we saw you back there, I mean, you... It was, unfortunately, we didn't have a very big crowd that day, but you guys had a steady stream of people in. I just thought it was amazing. And when you were sitting back there and we were watching you, I thought you were 20 years old because you seemed very poised and very adult. And so when we talked to your mother later on and she was telling us about you and your business, which is Rambling Rose Music, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a clever name, too. I like that. But you had many, many people coming through. And I've seen people on your page, people your parents' age and my age talking about questions about music they'd like to have, vinyl they'd like to have. I think it's quite amazing. Is there anyone around here doing what you do? And I know there are people that sell vinyl maybe in bigger towns, but... Is there anybody in this area that does what you do that moves around and has pop-ups like that?
Not for vinyl, at least. I know certain boutiques kind of do pop-up stores, but not really for vinyl. The only thing I would think is similar is America's Groove, which is the record store in Effingham. But other than that, I don't feel like I've ever heard of anyone else doing it with vinyl or even, I don't know, most even kids my age doing stuff like this isn't, it's not very common, I don't feel like.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I noticed that you clean these before you sell them. How do you, can you explain how you do that and how important that is to your customers?
Yes, it's a big deal to like clean records because I have bought vinyl from big record stores and they have been filthy and I've had to clean them. And if you honestly don't clean them, it can kind of damage your needle for your record player a little bit. So it's just best to have them clean. And it's not a very hard process at all. You can buy a little kit and it has a kind of a felt piece, and then there's a solution that you can buy. It's just called like record cleaning solution, and then you spray it on the little felt piece, and then you follow the grooves of the record. You go in like a circular motion, and then you do it to both sides, and you go over it a few times just to get the dust off.
I should remember a similar thing from when I actually owned vinyl, but I probably wasn't very efficient about cleaning my own. And then you have a record player on site, too, for people to play to make sure that there are no skips or anything like that, right? And find out that the sound quality is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a new thing I've kind of started, but I feel like people seem to like it the few times I've done that. And I had just, in the past, I had just recently brought my first record player, so it's not a very good quality one. It's just a Crosley, which is a little suitcase record player. So it doesn't have the best quality, but you can kind of check your record to see, make sure you like the sound quality at least. But I'm thinking for maybe more, like a bigger record show I'll do, I'll probably bring my personal record player, I guess. It's an Audio Technica, so it's a lot nicer quality, and it has some really nice speakers. So you would definitely, with that, I feel like you'd be able to really get a hold of kind of the sound. You'd be able to tell the sound really well. from that. So I'm thinking I'll bring my nicer record player to future shows.
Yeah, the sound is distinctly different from on a CD and a vinyl record. I never really thought that much about it since I've seen the evolution go from vinyl records to 8-track and then CDs and then to cassettes and then to CDs. And we've lost a lot of the sound quality in doing that. And I don't know much about that. And maybe you don't either. Or maybe you do. Do you know much about the sound quality loss from that?
I'm not super familiar about it, but I know from vinyl to CD, it is a recording of the vinyl when it's transferred onto the CD. So you lose a little bit of the high end and the low end, not by much, but each time it's re-recorded for CD, it kind of loses some of the high end and the low end. So vinyl, they kind of say, is like the purest form of like the music. That's kind of how it was intended to be heard and how it's like was recorded originally.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you so much. And how are many people surprised when they come to your show to learn your age when they're dealing with you, or do they already know when they've seen your, because I know you have a page on Facebook. And so has word of mouth kind of gotten around about you?
I think for the most part, I kind of have a reputation that people have heard of Ramblin' Rose Records. And I feel like sometimes people can be surprised, or maybe they knew I was kind of a younger kid, but maybe they didn't know I was like still in like high school. They seem to think I'm like 19 or 20, but I don't feel like it's too much of a shock, but sometimes people are a little surprised that I'm as young as I am, but.
Are you surprised by some of the requests that you get, or do you have, what records are your most popular that you sell? What artists are the favorite of the public, and what artist would be your favorite?
Well, for my favorite artist, I would say is The Who. I'm a huge fan of them. I love Pete Townsend. I have Pete Townsend's autograph. He's probably my favorite guitarist, someone who inspires me to play. So as for The Who, that's my favorite records to collect, though I pretty much have all their records. And for like fan favorites, probably Bad Company sells really good. Aerosmith sells really good. I get a lot of requests for like Rush and Zeppelin. So kind of just that, just some classic bands like that. But I would say those are some of the like what I would consider staple records that I like to usually have.
So thank you for that. How far do you go out of Effingham, and can people get in touch with you if they want you to come to a vendor event or some kind of a show?
They would probably get a hold of me on my Facebook page. They would probably maybe post a comment or a question on there, or could message me through the Facebook page. But I feel like we would go a decent amount to any vendor fair or any show like that we would think would be decent to have set up a sale at. But I prefer indoor shows, because sometimes with vinyl, you don't want to have it too hot, or you don't want it to be in the rain because that can damage them. So I prefer to do indoor shows usually.
Sure. How far have you gone away from Effingham? Have you gone to like Terre Haute or any bigger towns, bigger cities?
I've actually sold at a fully record show where they just sell records, and that was a few hours away. Oh. So that's probably about as far as we've went.
Mm-hmm. Was it a good show, or do you learn a lot when you go to those shows from other people that are selling, doing the same thing as you're doing? Do you ever pick up some hints from those people?
I don't know about that, but I do. You just meet a lot of cool people at those type of shows, and it's quite fun to just talk to people about vinyl, because at a record show, everyone is there looking for records. But I don't know if sometimes people aren't super talkative there. I don't know why. Maybe that's just how it is, or maybe the ones I've been to. But so I don't know if they give me so much as tips, but they always seem to be supportive of it. They always say they like to see like a younger person doing it, when most of them are a little bit older selling vinyl. But
sure. And we talked the day we saw you at Effingham Village Wine, that you had would try to sometimes play with other musicians your age, and it's kind of hard for you to find somebody that has a similar interest in classic rock. Is that something, do you still have your feelers out to try to find somebody that might be still interested in playing with you that is, you know, relatively close to your age?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the music taste part of it is kind of hard, which I don't particularly have a preference. If I would play with somebody, I'm pretty much down to play any type of music just because I enjoy playing music regardless of the genre. But it would be really nice to find someone who liked classic rock and just rock in general as much as I did. But I don't feel like around here there's as many, even kids my age, who are interested in it. But that's kind of difficult to find somebody with a similar of a music taste as me.
Sure. Is this something, Emerson, that you want to stick with? Is this, is music something you would like to make a career from? Or is this just a really good hobby for you? Do you have other interests?
I would say for playing music like live, it's definitely something I think I'll probably do throughout the rest of my life. I don't know how far I'll go with it. Like I'm honestly probably not at the moment. I'm not great at writing music. That's something I'm working on, like actively to try to get better at. So I don't know if I'll ever do something like an album, but I would love to play with a band and just, I think it's something I'll always stick with throughout my life. I'm not sure how far I'll go, if it'll be like a serious band and a tour or something, but I don't know about that. But I think same with my record business. I think I will probably honestly be more focused on my record business going into the future.
So, do you have any issues with being taken seriously as a musician with your age and your gender?
I feel like it's more, luckily I haven't really had much about people not taking me seriously being a girl, but sometimes with the age, people can tend to think you don't know what you're doing or you're inexperienced. But I have, even as young as I am, I have been doing it for a while, so I do know some of the ins and outs of it. But I don't run into people being negative about that very often. I can't hardly think of a time off my head, but sometimes people be like, oh, that's cute that you're playing a gig, good for you to try that. And I'm like, I've been doing this for a while, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I knew as soon as I met you that you had so far superior knowledge about a lot of things musically than I have, for sure. So what other interests and hobbies do you have besides music, or are you involved in anything else in school, or is music and vinyl your number one hobbies?
Yeah, I think music just overall is my number one hobby. Like, along with that, like, I like to read about music. I read a lot of biographies on musicians, and I watch a lot of documentaries. I'm what you'd say is a music nerd, but so I spend a lot of my time like kind of looking into that stuff. And I spend a lot of time like trying to find new music I've never heard. I like to find like obscure bands or rare records of people I've never heard of and music I've never listened to. So I feel like music takes up a lot of my hobbies. But with school, I kind of do stuff like Scholar Bowl and book club, but I'm not a sporty person, so I don't really partake in any of those type of things.
So you probably, maybe you're aware, maybe you aren't aware, how fortunate you are to have started this at such a young age. I know that I've always admired people and been somewhat envious of people, families who are people who are exposed to music and learn to play and appreciate it such a young age. I've always loved music and always appreciated it, sang all the harmonies, but I didn't have any opportunity to learn to play. And I think that to have that skill, whether I was piano or anything, guitar, anything that you have that skill, it's just it's a wonderful thing to have and to be exposed to that at such a young age. You must be grateful for that, I would think.
Yeah, I definitely am. That just even to have the confidence to just play live, because I know a lot of people who would like to play live and who really love music but feel like they're not confident enough or they don't believe in themselves enough to want to put themselves out there and play. But I feel like having experienced it from a young age, you realize maybe it's not that scary or it's not that big a deal if maybe you miss a chord or you mess up. And you don't have to take it as seriously as everybody thinks you have to take it. It's for fun more than it's for anything else. And if you don't enjoy it, why do it?
Right, exactly. And that you mentioned Bill Poss and his open mic nights that he has there at Village Wine, and then the Moccasin Creek Festival, all these opportunities that you have to be in front of a live audience, is everyone's a learning experience, isn't it? Every single one.
Oh, definitely. I feel like even each time you play, even if you played 100 times, you can still learn something new every time from playing a new gig.
I believe that, and I think that Bill Poss' music, I've never met Bill personally. We're just friends on Facebook, but I do know that to expose people of all abilities and people of all ages I think it's a wonderful thing for people to get out there and be able to play in front of an audience that is receptive and supportive. It's a great thing because, you know, I mean, many of the people that are out there, many of them are also musicians, and many of them are not. They're not going to know if you missed a chord or if you sing a note off key. They're not going to know. They just, you know, it's like they're out there, you know, applauding you for having the guts to get up there and do it. And I think that it's a major thing for anybody to get up. And I know the first time I played with Stacy, first time I ever played in front of a live audience was over in Paris at the Honeybee Festival. And I stepped up to the mic and a man got behind my ear and started talking to me. And I thought, what are you doing? And so, but I thought, well, that's one experience off my checklist that I don't have to worry about having done. But
yeah,
you know, and you know, another thing is having the support of your parents. That has to be huge for you.
Definitely. Yeah, because I know there are certain parents who I don't think would be as receptive of music, but...
Yeah, but I think it's wonderful. So do you have any thoughts or aspirations, or have you ever considered, I mentioned in a question I asked you about Richard Goodall from Terre Haute winning America's Got Talent. You ever think about going on one of those shows?
I do watch those shows, and I do like them, but I don't know if that's something... for me, because I feel like sometimes I feel like those kind of shows are more almost pop oriented, and so maybe not to the style that I like to do. So I don't know if it would be something I would be super interested in, maybe just to give it a try, but I don't think it's something I'd super seriously want to seriously try to win America's Got Talent or something like that. But I do think it's cool that local people can do it and win it, but I don't know if it's something for me.
Sure. I mean, it'd be an immense amount of pressure. I mean, there's a whole nother level besides getting up in front of an open mic group at Village Wine and then, or Moccasin Creek, and then going up and playing in that kind of an environment. That would be challenging, I think. But, you know, as far as, you know, posting, do you ever post any, well, you're not on, I know you're not on Facebook yet, but would you hope to post some videos of you playing down the line, maybe on Facebook or Instagram or some other, maybe YouTube or anything like that?
I don't usually personally post them myself, but I know my parents and family members kind of put up videos of me playing, and I'm actually a bit self-conscious about that just because I don't like how my voice tends to sound on like recording. I think a lot of people deal with that, though. That's not uncommon.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I'm not a person who's really on the internet much myself, so I'm not really in tune with the like uploading music and like going viral or something, but that's not really something that's super important to me. I would rather personally just play live rather than maybe recording a video myself at my house and then posting it online. I know some people prefer that, but I kind of would just rather play live myself.
You're such a wise girl. You're so wise. You're so wise.
Thank you.
Well, I wish I had been you when I was 15. I was... I did not have everything going for me that you have, young lady. Is there anything you'd like people to know about Emerson Rose that that we haven't talked about? What would you like people to know about you that we haven't talked about? Because I know you're a pretty deep thinker. I think you're not a superficial person. I know there's a lot of layers there.
Yeah, I think I want people to, especially kids my age, to take me seriously just for what I do with my music and my records business. I think maybe mostly with kids my age, I kind of am not the best socially around kids my age because they don't seem to understand the whole playing music aspect or selling records. Like, I get asked a lot from kids at school, what even is a record, Emerson? Or what do you mean you're playing a gig? So I feel like it would be nice if maybe more kids my age would understand a little bit better about what I do, or maybe look into it a little bit more before they kind of just give their opinion of it or kind of judge so quickly.
That's interesting. I would have never even thought about that aspect of it. So we talked about Ramblin' Rose Records. That's how people can find you on Facebook. That's the only place to find you at this point in time. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a Facebook. It's a Facebook group, so you can search up Ramblin' Rose Music, which I call it Ramblin' Rose Music because I post both when I'm selling records or selling records online and when I'm playing gigs. So I like it kind of all encompasses all my music-related gigs and pop-up shows. So you can find me on Facebook under there. And if you're looking to, you know, anyone's looking to sell records or buy records, that's a good place to find it or see where I'm playing gigs next.
Well, I got to thank you for being here, Emerson Rose. You are, you've been wonderful. You've been a joy to talk to and to learn more about. I'm so glad that we happened to just, I didn't know we were going to meet that day, but I'm so glad that we did. And I hope this isn't the last time. I hope maybe you'll come back if you've got something else going on. I'm going to bring this show to a close, and I want to thank you.
I'm sure we'll be down to see you guys play at an open mic or something again.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
And I really appreciate you having me on, too.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. We're so glad to have had you. And I'm glad you had the catch you on a holiday so you'd be out of school. We wish you the very best and look forward to hearing more from you in the future. So I want to thank you and bring this episode to a close. And thank you for stopping by for Life on the Illinois Prairie. And please, everyone, be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.